In 2003, Fairfax County resident Pete Early got a frightening phone call. His college-age son, Kevin, had suffered a mental breakdown, stopped taking the medication doctors prescribed, and was found wandering the streets of New York.
For 5 days, he'd barely slept, he'd barely eaten. He was convinced God had him on a secret mission. And during the car ride from New York to Fairfax County, Virginia, he would laugh one minute and cry the next.
Kevin refused medical care, and state law didn't allow doctors to commit him to a mental hospital unless he harmed himself or others. So Pete Early took him home.
48 hours later, he slipped out of the house. He broke into a stranger's house. He broke in to take a bubble bath. Luckily, no one was there. 5 officers came and took him out. And I discovered that my son was one of the 365,000 people with mental illnesses who are in our jails and prisons.
Actually, Kevin got probation. But as a journalist, his father decided to do time. He found a jail that would let him take up residence for 10 months and wrote about all the mental illness he saw behind bars. More than a decade later, 7 communities in Virginia are taking a different approach when individuals with mental illness commit crimes.
We are down at the local jail every morning to interview people, and we do a brief mental health screen on those individuals.
That's David Pastures, director of Blue Ridge Court Services in Stanton. If a panel of legal and medical experts agrees, he says, criminals with mental illness can be diverted to a 12-month treatment program. If they stay with it, their charges are dismissed.
It's a pretty big commitment where you have to see a clinician once a week, you have to see your probation once a week, and you have to go back before the judge every 2 weeks.
Similar programs funded by state and local governments are underway in Richmond, Petersburg, Norfolk, Manassas, Henrico, and Roanoke. Because it doesn't require residential buildings or security, this approach is far cheaper than prisons or mental hospitals, and people who take part are far less likely to have future problems with the law. Jan Jarvis was the first person to graduate from the program in Stanton. In his early 40s, he was picked up on charges that could have sent him to jail.
I was at the park, right? And I was playing with this turtle, flipping it over and over and over with my foot, and somebody called it and said I was trying to kill the turtle.
Ridiculous, says Jarvis.
It's stupid.
He loves turtles and refers to himself as Turtle Man, often dressing in green sweats. Still, his friend, 72-year-old Jerry Coe, a retired high school art teacher, encouraged him to plead guilty to charges of trespassing and obstructing justice and to get therapy through the program. She knew he was bipolar and had schizoaffective disorder.
Which is what my daughter killed herself over. Couple days from her 37th birthday.
She also heard his desperation when the two attended meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous.
One thing he said was, I can't get sober. I'm going to go out and do something bad enough that they'll lock me up.
She's convinced jail time for a more serious crime would have made Jarvis worse, while the therapeutic docket has made him better.
He became a little bit more responsible, more interested in working with others. And in my opinion, that's exactly what he ought to do.
He's good with kids, she says, and he's got an infectious laugh. The two make a funny pair. He's more than a foot taller than she and 150 pounds heavier. But Coe had a big house and almost no family, so she invited Jarvis to move in. As she battles cancer, she finds Jarvis is good company and a fine housemate. He's learning to cook, does the shopping, is an excellent dishwasher, and takes care of the yard. Next year, he'll start working for the therapeutic docket, counseling others who are eligible. Kevin Early is also doing well, working as a peer specialist who helps other people recover from mental illness. We'll explain how that works in our next report. I'm Sandy Houseman.